Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here. Hi, everyone. On this week's podcast, I wanted it to be really special. It's not only the equinox, but there's a lot going on astrologically that we'll get into. And because of that, I wanted to do something really special for you today. I wanted to bring you with me to Australia, and not just to Australia, but to a very special site called Uluru, or Ayers Rock, as you may know it. And I had an opportunity to get here to Uluru, and I really want to share it with you. So I've done my best to get some photos, to learn how to use my camera to try to put this together for you in a way that would make you feel like you're here with me too. Now, before we begin, I just want to let you know that in April, we have a full lineup of classes: Animal Reiki Level 1 and 2, Reiki Level 1 and 2, Karuna Reiki, Animal Communication. Karuna and Animal Communication are more into May, but please join us for those if they speak to you. Also in May, I will be at the Northeast Reiki Retreat teaching Animal Reiki Level 1 and 2 in New York, so please check the link in the podcast for that. And in July, August, and September, I have some level one and two whale classes with a master's in September. But I want you to look, if you're thinking you'd like to do animal Reiki masters this July, I'm actually going to be adding one in July, August in the Australian time zone, which means evenings in North America and mornings in Australia. It also often works for our Asian friends and our European friends. It's a little late, but that one will be offered in Campobello and as well as online. So do look for that if that's your intention, and that would let you enjoy all day and then come and do classes in the evenings with me. The reason that this podcast is special is this is our Equinox podcast, which is all about new beginnings. And it's about new beginnings, whether you are in the Northern Hemisphere, like I usually am, or the Southern Hemisphere, which is where I am right now. This equinox occurs twice a year when the tilt of Earth's axis is inclined neither away from nor toward the sun. So we have an equal length of day and night. So equinox is all about balance. It marks the start or the beginning of spring for us in the north and fall in the south. In the north, the spring equinox is associated with new beginnings, growth, and renewal. And it's a time when our days start to become longer, the weather starts to warm up, the cold and dark of winter lose their grip. And for those of us in North America, that makes us very happy. And in the South, it's just the opposite, but it is still a time of renewal. The days are starting to get shorter. We're going into that time of being a bit more introspective rather than a bit more introverted, less extroverted. Whereas in the North, we're going into the opposite, the time when we can get around and get out and see people and have barbecues and enjoy life. The thing is, many spiritual and cultural traditions celebrate the spring equinox as a time of rebirth and renewal. Like in the Greek tradition, the ancient Greek tradition, the spring equinox was celebrated as the return of the goddess Persephone from the underworld and the beginning of the planting season. And yet in the Christian tradition, the spring equinox is celebrated as Easter, and it marks the resurrection of Jesus and his triumph of life over death. So during the spring equinox, or the autumn equinox for our southern friends down here, the sun enters Aries. And most of us are going to feel that as a burst of inspiration and motivation to take action and make changes in your lives. And in Southern Hemisphere, the fall equinox is associated with the beginning of fall, of course, and marks the time when the days get shorter. And this is more of a time of reflection, letting go, and preparing for the winter months ahead. Now, in the Aboriginal culture in Australia, which is where I'm coming to you from, the equinoxes are celebrated as a time of balance and harmony when the earth is in a state of equilibrium between seasons, a time to reflect on the past and prepare for the future. This is a time for renewal, growth, and balance, regardless of the hemisphere that you're in. And it is associated with the sign of Aries, which is the first sign of the zodiac. Aries is a fire sign associated with action, initiative, and new beginnings. Now, in addition to the sun moving into Aries, there's these other planetary alignments that are happening and transits. Some of them are about letting go of old patterns and behaviors and embracing new possibilities and opportunities for growth. This is a time for new beginnings, growth, and a renewed sense of purpose, regardless of your hemisphere. A time to take action, set intentions, and plant the seeds for new projects and initiatives. And as the seasons change, one of the reasons that I try to offer this, I'm a few days late, but to try to offer this on the equinoxes and the solstices is that whenever the seasons change, we feel the shift. We tend to feel unsettled. That crossover of seasons can be really jarring for us. Now, on top of experiencing the equinox, we're also moving through a dark new moon, which is also about cleansing and clearing and preparing for new beginnings. And it's also for creating the space for contemplation. Now, this equinox, we integrate our first 3 months of the year that we've just been through, that we've lived with perspective and insights. One of the themes of this time is increasing trust as well as an appreciation for all that we've experienced. Now, one of the things we can do during the equinox is just to allow the cosmic pace to take the time that it needs and to balance and reset you. It will bring you elegantly back into a place of balance. Now, for the next few weeks, we're also going to be in the Aries stellium, which allows us to build momentum and drive and see stubborn projects through. March 23rd, though, which is today at home, yesterday down here in Australia, Pluto moved into Aquarius for the first time in 225 years, since 1778, and it will be there until July. And this tends to bring about tremendous societal and individual change. I can't help but think about that song, The Age of Aquarius. Because this is such a special time, both with the equinox and what's happening astrologically. And incidentally, Pluto is going to then in July move out of Aries, but it's going to move back into Aquarius in January and be there for 20 years. And so again, I just keep thinking of this age of love, this era of love that we are ushering in. Because it's a very special time, I wanted this to be a very special podcast, and I worked really hard on it for you. I hope that you'll enjoy it. Now, I'm going to pop the YouTube link into the podcast link because I really think you might want to see the photos of this. So I'm just going to bring up some of the photos. We started our time in Uluru with a beautiful visit to the Field of Lights. Now, this is an art installation that is here in Uluru. And this field of lights is meant to imitate the beautiful flowers that open in a desert when the rains come. But it's enormous. I can't stress to you, this is the size of several football fields. It's just huge. And it's all made with this beautiful fiber optic cable. We wound up then going to the sunrise at Uluru the following morning and having experienced sunset in the field of lights. And so this is Uluru. Uluru is the indigenous name, and it was called Ayers Rock, but it has, for all intents and purposes, reverted back to its original name. We also got a chance to visit Katatudu, and which was also known as the Olgas, and to learn quite a bit about the Anangu people, the original indigenous tribe that has been here for over 30,000 years. So this is Uluru. It's a sandstone rock formation located in the Northern Territory of Australia, and it has tremendous spiritual significance. It's a sacred site for the indigenous people of this region who are the traditional owners of the land. They've been here for roughly 1,700 generations. The Anandu people believe that the rock was created by their ancestors during the dream time, a period of Aboriginal mythology when the world was created. It's about 1,142 feet or 348 meters high, and it's 5.8 miles or 9.4 kilometers around. And this morning, Bertina and I actually walked the whole way around the rock. And at that time, we were able to touch the rock and so on. So here's a few more photos of the sunrise that we got to watch on Uluru. It's a popular tourist destination now. It's known for its reddish color, which changes throughout the day, depending on the angle of the sun. It's in the outback. It's in the very center of the desert in Australia. Visitors from all over the world come here. We hike around the base. We take guided tours. We talk to some of the indigenous natives, and we were fortunate to get a wonderful tour. And there's also other natural wonders like Katatutu, and we did get a chance to visit. Here's a few photos of that. That's the men's site. And so I did find the men's site as a woman. It did feel a little bit less welcoming than Uluru. But we did get a chance to visit with our hosts, Mary and Terry, and Bertina, my assistant, is there. And then again this morning at sunrise, we went back to Uluru and had a chance to visit that more close up and personal. So the indigenous people here have a really deep spiritual connection with their land. They're the traditional custodians of the Uluru Katatiju National Park, and their culture, they have a rich cultural heritage that's deeply rooted in their traditions, stories, and ceremonies passed down through generations. Their culture is centered around something that's known as the dreaming or the dream time. And that encompasses their creation stories, their spiritual beliefs, and the law that governs their daily life. In the Anandu culture, the rock is believed to be the physical evidence of the actions of their ancestors during the dream time, which is a period of creation that began at the beginning of time. According to the dream time stories, Ayers Rock was formed by the actions of ancestral beings who were responsible for shaping the land, creating water holes, and bringing forth life. It's also believed to be the home of ancestral spirits, and is even considered to be a portal to the spirit world. It's believed that the Anandu people can communicate with these spirits through special ceremonies and rituals which were performed at the site. Now, although we were allowed to take photos of a few places in Uluru, many of the places are still used for spiritual purposes and ceremony. And we were not allowed to take photos, and there were certain areas that we weren't able to visit. People used to be able to climb the rock until 2019, and now that has stopped, which is fortunate because it was actually creating pollution in the water at the base of water holes at the base of the rock. And that's something that the Anindu people rely on. But this is one of the first places, as we walked around the rock, that we could photograph. And it's the women's cave, where they ground the seeds to make the bread and the food and so on. And this is just another view of the women's cave. This is Bertina and I at one of the sites of the waterfalls. And this is just the ceiling of one of the caves that we were able to go into. And here's just some other interesting caves. The light when it hit Uluru was spectacular. And so just from this up close and personal look, I hope you can get an idea of how special this cave are. Of course, there's some cave drawings. The Uluru is still used for spiritual purposes on this day, to this day. Some of you know that, how special this is. And some of you are probably aware that I see hearts, heart shapes when I'm listening to and connected with source or spirit, God, whatever name you want to use. And I found several heart-shaped rocks as I went through. And there's actually an entire heart-shaped formation in the rock that I have here. The Anindu people communicate with the spirits in special ceremonies, as I mentioned. They also believe that the rock is a source of great power and energy. Certainly, when I placed my hand on it in certain places, I could feel a hum or a buzz going through my hand. I'm not quite certain what I've learned there yet. I feel like I'm still in the process of downloading and understanding this energetic shift. In fact, I have wondered, I was told that Stonehenge is the heart chakra of the earth. I was told that the mountain that we visited with Pele on the Big Island of Hawaii, the erupting volcano and that whole space, was the sacral chakra of the earth. And I was told that Uluru is like the solar plexus of the earth. But aside from that, I'm still really listening to understand and just allowing it to take its time processing and moving into my cellular awareness. The energy from Uluru, they believe it contains a life force, or Chukurpa, which is passed down from generation to generation. And this has the power to heal, guide, and protect all those who are connected with it. Their spiritual beliefs are based on this concept, which refers to the dreaming, the time of creation when the world was formed by ancestral beings. According to their belief, these ancestral beings also created the land, the plants, the animals, and established the laws and traditions that govern the Anindu way of life. Chukurpa is not just a creation story, but a living tradition that's passed down through generations, through art, song, dance, and storytelling. The Anindu people believe that the land around Uluru is sacred, holds a great spiritual power. They are the custodians of the land, so they feel a deep responsibility to protect and care for it. And one of the issues they had when people were climbing on it was that sometimes there were 37 people killed, and they hold a deep sense of grief for this. They feel that everything in the natural world is connected, and that humans have a responsibility to live in harmony with nature. One of the most important spiritual practices of these people is ceremony. Ceremonies that are held for a wide range of purposes, like healing, initiation, celebration. They are sacred. They are not open to outsiders, but occasionally some visitors who are respectful of their culture and traditions are able to attend some. They also do this beautiful traditional art form called dot painting, which is stunning. Their spiritual practices and beliefs are deeply rooted in their connection to the land and the traditions of their ancestors. I found a little mini Stonehenge there, just in the way some of the stones were positioned. And they continue to pass down their traditions through art, music, dance, and storytelling, as I mentioned. So I did manage to get some fantastic photos for you. And what I thought I'd like to do is go ahead and lead you in a meditation today that will help you really move into a place of balance yourself, and a place that will allow you to not only find balance, but really embrace, reflect on what's happened, move into a place of gratitude, and embrace where we're going with all of this. So I thought I would just play you a short video as we do this, which runs through all of the photos. Go ahead and close your eyes. Take some deep breaths and bring your hands into gassho. Just activating all of your Reiki symbols today. As we embrace this time of growth, renewal, this new age of Aquarius that is upon us, and our responsibility as light bringers to spread love in the world. Place your hands comfortably on your body and breathe. And through the distant symbol, you notice that there's a beautiful bridge of light in front of you. This bridge of light will take you to Uluru. I invite you to cross over the bridge, and as you do, you notice the spiritual beings that are here with you, the brothers and sisters of the light, the angels, the archangels. And you notice the Anindu people and their spiritual beliefs. They welcome you. You understand that there are parts of Uluru that are sacred to them and important to them, and we have no interest in disrespecting this today. But I invite you to walk over to your favorite part of the rock from the photos, and the photos are all from the areas that we were allowed to photograph that were not part of the sacred ceremonies. And understanding that the rock, in its sacredness, the solar plexus of the earth, through the connection with the earth in this very special power place on the planet, it can allow you to heal. So you walk along the base of Uluru until you find a place that speaks to you, that calls out to you. And once you do, you go ahead and settle in with your back against the great rock. And you just open your senses to notice what you feel around you, and at the same time, a beautiful beam of light shines down directly upon you from the highest heaven. The angels and the archangels are standing at the corners of the land and on every side, protecting all of us. When I was at the men's site, and could feel that the earth was not quite as welcoming there toward the opening of the cave, the earth told me that we will soon be able to overcome all differences and separation, whether it be due to gender, race, culture, or understanding. Regardless of the barriers that we've placed, we are moving into an age where we will realize we are all one. And with Pluto moving into Aquarius for the first time in many generations, just for 3 months at first, and then more permanently, I believe we are moving into that age of Aquarius. And actually in January, I believe it's for a short time and then leaves, but then comes back in 2024 permanently. As that light of Reiki surrounds you and fills your breath, you're filled with gratitude. Gratitude for the indigenous and traditional people of each land who are deeply connected with the land and who are so open to sharing their ways with us if we would but listen. You're grateful to be a light bringer, someone creating wellness on the earth, and you send Reiki and blessings to the Anandu people and to Uluru Rock, understanding that if it is appropriate, it will be accepted. But you send your love. And as this beautiful beam of light from the heart of God shines on you, as you sit at the solar plexus of the earth, I invite you to look into your own solar plexus. So many people who are empaths struggle with digestive issues. So many people who are intuitive use our gut instinct. And the solar plexus is all about the complexities and the necessities of living life on the earth. And it's also the home of our ambition. Lean back against the rock as you open your heart and receive. And you allow the light that surrounds you to guide you on your way forward, on your path of new beginnings. You allow the rock and the earth to absorb anything you no longer need moving forward. And you allow the light to begin to guide you and we'll remain here for a few moments. And just noticing the love and the unity. Feeling the light of renewal moving into every cell of your body and every part of your being. Releasing all that no longer serves you. Stepping forward. I hope you've enjoyed our time in Australia and in Uluru, this very special sacred rock. The hospitality of the Anindu people, which I really personally appreciate. I hope you do too. Thank you so much for being here with us this week, as always, and thank you for the beautiful light you're shining in the world and for the love that you're spreading. Aho matoku e wasu. Namaste and amen.